Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
An absolutely amazing way to start off my afternoon with you. A very good afternoon to you and happy Monday. It's a brand new week and I'm absolutely excited to start it off with you. My name is Lukho Mgwedi-Phuthi. It is Monday's edition of Spectrum and we're starting it on a rather busy note, I must say. Really been looking forward to this conversation in particular, but you know, the energy sometimes tries his tricks, but he's not going to win this time around. So this afternoon, almost at morning, I don't know what makes me think morning because I've never been with you in the morning. So I don't know why I'm thinking that. But anyway, what's really exciting is this particular lady I was supposed to have her last week, but she started not feeling well. And I was like, yeah, I was really looking forward to this one. But I'm glad she was like, you know what? Once I get up, I'm coming through. So today I am having a chat with Lynn Dandungane, a creative strategist, employer, brand specialist by day and a children's book author, podcaster and radio host by passion. I'm not going to go through everything because I want her to tell us exactly who she is and just take us in with her. Linda, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Hi, Lukho. Thank you so much for having me. And you know what? The devil is a liar.
And his mother-in-law.
We are together. We just had to prioritize health, but which is very important, right? Very important. Still healing, still getting better by the day. But it was just important for me to get here and have this conversation. So I am super, super excited to be here with you and to introduce myself to everyone.
And I'm just glad that you're like, I want to be there in person. I love these conversations when I get to see you in person, and I absolutely love them. So maybe let's start here before we have a conversation with why you're here and about this amazing project. As a mom myself, I'm just like, wow. But before we even get to that part, who is Lynn Dandungane? Who are you? I mean, maybe give us a bit of where did you grow up? What's your story? I mean, if you're gonna write about children, for me, I have this idea that there must have been something worth taking from your childhood as well.
Definitely. So let me introduce myself. My name is Linda Noluthando Ndungane in full. So full of love, full of joy. Quite a patient individual, if I must say so myself.
That's
so,
a difficult one.
right. And also impatient because, hey, there's a book. Not too sure how impatient I am, right? But we'll get into that later. So I grew up in Soweto, born and bred. Zola Clinic, and I had an opportunity to be raised by my grandmother and mom and mom's sister and uncle, who were brought up by a gentleman who loved prayer, who loved worship. So it is just entrenched at home to be these people that, you know, pray and are so in touch with God. So you know, if you want to go deeper, but just to give you that essence of just the type of home I grew up in. So it was warm, welcoming and fruitful in that there were always lessons and stories told ekhaya, at home, you know. So I've always had that mind of, you know, imagining things and being hopeful that something will change. So I carry that in me. Like, I'm very optimistic as a person, you know. If you want to get to know me, come from a positive angle, then you know, the door's open. Don't come with the problems first. I have a solution. This is the problem. I'm that girl.
Oh, I This is the problem. I've never thought of that. You know. I think what impresses me more, Linda, is that it was the grandfather or the dad that prayed more, because we always associate prayer with women,
right?
And we always say, you know, my grandmother's prayers what carried me through. And I mean, our grannies definitely prayed, but it's very rare to hear somebody say, you know, the male figure was the prayerful one in the family.
That's the story I heard. So for me, yes, I stand on the fact that my granny's always been the one that will tell me. And she's part of the reason why the book is so significant and the reason why we're sitting here today. But the story that everyone tells is that he would every evening get the whole family together to sing. So everyone at home can sing besides me, just by the way.
I was about to say, can you get a line or two?
I love singing, but I mean, I can't. So I'm the writer. I'll just write. Exactly. And then he would get everyone together to worship, to praise and pray, you know. Wow. So church was at home.
Wow.
And then I think at his passing, that didn't die with him.
Yeah.
Everyone continued at home. And I think my grandmother was that pillar. So we lost her a year ago in August.
Oh, sure. Still fresh.
Yeah. Oh, very, very fresh. So we won't go deeper there. Course. But she's carried that with us for so long that it's not a by the way thing, but it's like it's natural. Yes. Yes.
That's amazing. Now, Linda, you then decide, you actually made mention earlier on that your family were much storytellers.
Yeah.
So then you decide, you know what, I wanna tell a story. And the story is around children and particularly the importance of them praying. Which is, I think it's one of the most important things as we groom our children, especially from their toddler stage. It's very important for us to instill prayer, because comes a time where we're not there as parents, and prayer really truly sustains them. As you actually mentioned, that, you know, that's the one thing Utamkhulu left you guys with, prayer. What inspired you to even sit down and say, hey, I want to write a book? I mean, people want to write books every day. It's always about the struggles and everything they've been through. And you thought children? You thought pray? Why?
Because we should come as children. No, I'm kidding. Well, I love how children take in information and how children learn.
Mm.
And I believe that even us sitting here as adults, some of the things that we remember them because we either had a game attached to it, we played something and it linked to some sort of learning. And it's easier to grasp concepts and understand when we play, right?
Okay.
So for me, I found, how can I contribute to this? Because sometimes I also don't have the time or the energy, and I'm not the only parent, right? That was number one. Number two that actually led to us actually publishing was me trying to find collateral, if I can put it like that, that my daughter could relate or resonate with.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter's 10 now.
Oh, wow.
So at the time she was 7.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm finding she's coming home with books, but I'm not feeling the books.
Okay.
They're not sending that message that I need.
All right.
She's not seeing herself in the books. And I mean, now we have more and more authors, right?
Were these Christian books or just regular books?
Both Christian and non-Christian material that was coming, I mean, even from the school library.
Yes.
So I was seeing the same books that I read. Mm. And I was like, no, man, there must be something that I can find. So after, you know, searching, I'm like, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
Why am I waiting for someone else to put something together?
Mm.
Why am I being the person who was expectant of someone else to produce something instead of me taking the leap and actually saying, this is the message I would like to share.
True.
And I know the people that would appreciate and learn from it.
Mm.
And I've got a lot of friends with young children and sometimes really don't have the time to, you know, spend with our children late in terms of, let's sit and read and get into this culture of, you know, prayer, or the ritual of actually having that in place. So it was also to alert some of us, you know, to say, this is actually important.
Yeah.
Here's a tool, you know, that you can use. So very much a resource.
I understand you, because I can imagine the feeling of saying, I know what I want, but I just can't find it. But I know it in my head. You know that feeling when you're like, this is what I'd like for my child, but it looks like nobody's coming up with it. So, hey, but tell me, Linda, while still in that thought, you know you can do it. You know you can actually write this book. But where do you get the motivation, and how did you actually think this is actually going to be a success? The printing, all of that, the stress that comes with, like, where was your mind at?
Luckily, we had something called a COVID.
At all the time to
that
write.
That was a blessing for parts of it were a blessing to some of us, because it actually gave me time to think. It gave me an opportunity to meet someone who inspired, you know, the understanding of the steps towards publishing, self-publishing, marketing a book. And I had the privilege of actually doing it from a heart of giving, you know, and that actually encouraged me.
Wow.
You know, it's tough to actually go through the process. I know you're trying to get me to
enter
it deep,
like,
to say, well, you went all out and published. It wasn't easy. There were lots of learning curves, school fees to be paid, because it's a space that I'm not too familiar with. But what helped is having the right mentor who also worked in the ECD space, early childhood development, and had the connections to say, this is what this age group that you're looking at would appreciate.
You beat me
this
to
is
it.
The language, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm learning. I'm putting, you know, as much as I know I'm a writer, but what I want to write, will it land with this, you know, group of individuals if I'm writing to this one? And, you know, especially in our country, you know, the context, and and then also adding the faith part of this, you know, is it something that I want to put out there and be known as someone who's now writing you know, faith-based books,
Christian
book, you know what I mean? So it was a whole journey that I went through to get to this product. But one of the critical steps was, What gap am I wanting to close?
Okay.
Right, which was creating that spiritual habit that will last a lifetime.
Because another question, I do understand that there was a spiritual aspect to it, but also, are you much of a reader? Were you one of those parents that are like, you know what, if there's something I've got to instill in my child, it's reading? Because I think oftentimes, we create things and materials that we feel will sell. Yet somebody else will say, like you're saying, I wanted my child to read certain material. But at the same time, was it from a perspective of just, you know, I want her inspired by the right material? Or was it also from the perspective that children need to read?
Children need to read. Full stop. Children need to read.
True, because it develops their language as well.
Yes, and how they relate to other people and how they articulate themselves confidently. And remember when I started, I spoke about having material that resonated. You know, looking in a book and not only seeing Zina, but also seeing Zinzi. You know, having that, oh, actually there's people like me that I actually, you know, doing activities that I can do as well, you know. So just from an African child concept, to say, see yourself reading, see yourself playing, see yourself reaching your goals. So I wanted that for her. But in terms of the literacy side of things, it was very important. I think the one problem that we do have as a country, as a nation, is just that the literacy levels, you know.
Ridiculously
and us as
low.
Parents need to be harder on ourselves firstly, and take out a book and read in front of our children. And one of the things that I actually emphasize as a note to the parents is, children actually do what they see us doing
more than what we instruct them to
I instruct all I like, but the minute I start to read something and I engage with that material, funny enough, she will, you know, she'll report back. Yes, she reads on her own. She'll report back that, I've read this, I've done this. And I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you. So you're not going
to
tell me
intellectual conversation.
If I didn't, you know, also show you that I'm interested in this book, or I'm busy writing something, you know. So it's up to us. Reading is so essential. Reading is one of those skills that open doors for a lot of people. Sometimes you don't have the access to particular education, or
that's
the
true
level of education that you need or deserve, right? As a child,
that's
now
so true.
I'm speaking to, you know, the children that may be listening right now. But the more you find material around you to read, it's going to help you.
It's going to open up your mind.
It's going to help you to ask for help as well.
Wow.
Because how do you ask for help when you don't know how to articulate yourself? So reading, getting around people that have books, you know, borrowing books, going to the libraries. I mean, when we grew up, we had a community center with a library. You could walk up and get books and exchange with other children as well. So there should be those places that are still available where we can actually get children to meet and engage and exchange books, you know, because that, like, oh, sorry, I want to just go back to the opportunities part that I wanted to emphasize, that sometimes the lack that you may be in can be opened by just the material that is going to allow you to have the imagination to think bigger.
Sure.
And that usually lies in the books, the type of books we consume. So if we allow children to read more, to consume more, to understand words, because when you don't understand something, what do?
Of course.
You ask someone, you Google, you know, you
and engage your vocabulary people, is now more broadened.
You see, you have more conversation. Yeah, it leads to so much. So I'm quite an advocate for literacy. I don't put it out there, yes, in terms of my profile, but I feel it's a given in that I'm contributing, you know, one part is my contribution to it is here's material, you know, let's get our children reading, let's get them understanding their relationship with God, let's get them understanding what gratitude means, you know, let's get them into good habits, let's get them journaling, because, you know, once you've read the book, you realize at the end you can now pray yourself, you know. And did I say the title of the book is We Pray Together, We Play Together?
We're gonna get to it right now. Oh, okay. Actually, but I think what you're saying is so important, especially in the face of a society that prioritizes gadgets for their kids more than anything. There's a lot to learn from the gadgets, don't get me wrong, but I think we've replaced, I loved it when you said you know, we get to a library and exchange books. You know, for it was a beautiful thing when we valued it as children, if you remember.
Yes.
Then it got to a time where we got lazy and all we did was go to the library because we were sent for information. But I remember there was a time where we would go, especially as little children, just sit, fold our legs and start reading for the fun of it. And I think a lot of improvement, I can talk about myself, came particularly from that, actually.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about your book. And the surprising thing, by the way, guys, for those on Facebook, you're so fortunate because you'll get to see the book. I am going to make sure that it shows perfectly. I hope you can see it. Ah, there it is. There, look at how beautiful it is. And the quality is absolutely amazing. I want to do this. Can you hear that? It's not just some random paper. So, Linda, tell us about your book. What is the title of your book? We've just been talking about the purpose of the book, but what's the title of the book? And if you can just take us through it, basically by that I mean, what is it all about?
Definitely the part I love the most. So the book is titled We Pray Together, We Play Together.
Okay.
So important play there on the words that, you know, when we come together in a form of playing, it can lead to so much.
Okay.
And one of the lessons in this case is that my three girls, who are the characters in the book, learn to pray during their play time. Yes.
Aww.
So it's centered around three girls who are in pre-primary school, Zintle, Zanele, and Zinzi.
Zet.
So my Zet girls ventured into playing together because there's a hole in the wall of one of the houses, so between one of the houses, and this gives them access to just sneak in and play together after school.
Are they all just
They're
friends
all neighbors.
Or? Oh, neighbors.
Yes,
okay.
They're neighbors and they become friends because the parents introduce them to each other.
Wow.
So the whole story really is how important it is for us to still have that connection, that ubuntu, that that willingness for us to connect.
Okay.
You know? So because the parents have connected, the children are able to connect and play together. And it's a safe space, a safe zone. Mm. So I'm also in the book trying to emphasize that as well, that we still need to create safe spaces, for ourselves, for our children. Mm. And the fact that what we do is then very important, right, with our children, because they then do it without us realizing.
Yeah.
So
there's that one child who becomes an influence.
Yeah.
A positive one.
Because they see at home, we get kicked. At home, we get kicked very hard. And then in the playground, what does that person do? They kick other children,
True.
So though there are times when it is actually just the child who's misbehaving, and at home things are good, they just decide to be a bully.
Where did he learn this from?
But most of the time you do find that children have certain outbursts because of the experiences and stuff. So let's create safe spaces for our children. And then Zanele then is into prayer, because why? The mom prays every day. And there's a part in the book where she's asked, how many times do you pray? And then we also learn about the days of the week in there, because now she has to explain, we pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're like, every day. It's like, so this is a thing, you can't just do it once. And also I just unpacking some of the things that we take for granted, but children will ask for things humbly from God, and you then get a sense of what they are longing for the most, what they're grateful for the most, and also what is probably hurting them or making them happy.
All in
so,
this book.
Yes, okay. And it's a good sort of conversation starter for the parents. So when you go into the book, you realize I am writing for the children to connect, but more for the parents to use snippets of that to connect with their children. Because it helps me connect with mine, because I'm able to ask them, how are you feeling? What were you up to today? What are you grateful for? Mm. If you were to be praying, what are the key things would be praying for? There's a point where most children would want a sibling. Why do you want a sibling? Especially when you.
I hope my twins never get to ask me that. I mean, there's two already, so please.
They probably will. They
you've got each other, guys.
They probably but now you need to find out. Yes, so why do you want a brother? What is it that the brother would be doing? And you find there's something that you're not spending some quality time that they need, and they feel if there's
a brother,
there's something they will, that they'll get this time and give someone else the attention, Silly example right now, but you're getting my flow.
That's
so it's a good conversation starter as well. And just to the transition, obviously, into journaling, documenting certain things that happen, which... We learn at a later age. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I also learned later, learned from reading a book, that you can actually have a diary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can write, your thoughts and, just what you're thinking and how you're feeling and, what's
helps
happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you don't bottle everything up, because there's certain things you wouldn't be able to tell your parents. So this is also, leaning towards that transition for us to be able to teach kids how to, once you know how to read, it becomes better to write.
That is so true.
Once you're able to write, and then you'll be able to articulate yourself, then, you become a leader. I think I'm all about turning these kids into future leaders.
Of course.
But you have to start somewhere, right?
But who is this book for exactly? What's the age group? And perhaps let us know, is it reader-friendly for the little ones, or is it one of those that mom and dad has to read for the kids?
So lower than 4, yes, you'd have to read. But from the ages of 5 onwards, they can read for themselves. So the target is between the ages of 4 and 8.
Okay.
But relevant for
those lower as well.
Yes, relevant. Mm. Yeah, because some kids grow up so quick these days.
True.
And the maturity level is different these days. They are able to speak a bit earlier. And you get them to pray, and especially those that attend children's church, they're able to to sing, and so you're able to tell them stories. So it's one of those where you can actually really get them going with it. So what we also did was an accompanying coloring book for the book, which has scenes.
For those in Facebook, there's the main book.
So what helps is if you are, as a parent, as a caregiver, as a guardian, as a, you know, daycare teacher, you know, wherever you are in that mist, you have the book and you have that audience. You can read the book and have the kids color it in, because that will spark then their imagination. And they'll be able to tell you other stories looking at the scenes that they've colored in. So that's the benefit as well of having the coloring book. So we thought that would be the bonus, you know, the cherry on top for the kids that are younger.
Because then you also get to assess what your child is imagining about the book, exactly what they understand about the book as well. So tell me, Linda, how do we get our hands on the book? I think that's the most important part. Is it out in the stores? Are you selling it on the socials? I know these days the net is quite a thing. So how do we get our hands on it?
So everything is in the name, my name, Linda Ndungane. So the book is available on my website, lindandungane.co.za, under books. You'll be able to find it there. I am currently in a partnership with Bala Lina, which is an online store for books. So you're able to purchase it there. And then we are also working with Lidikana stores. There's one in Rosebank and there's one at the airport where you'd be able to find the
very
book.
Convenient position, by the way. Airports.
We're trying our best to be out there, but also working very closely with black female business owners as well. You will see the girls are quite African on the cover. So we're also trying to keep that going as well, to say, hey, they are African females who are doing well out there.
Absolutely love it. Linda, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. Thank you so much for being a difference in our society, because it's quite a need, I must say, especially for children. When I saw it, I was like, this is actually something. Okay, my twins are only turning 17 months tomorrow, but it's something I'd love to, you know, coach them towards reading. Reading is very important, and obviously prayer. So thank you so much, Nelson, for coming through, and all the best. I hope you're doing these launches and promotional tours and whatnot very soon, because hey, more parents could do with the book.
Thank you.
God bless.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.